You let the Bible just speak to you. And I have found so many great, wonderful subjects and themes and wonderful things that God has said concerning his people. And now in our reading, we were brought to Titus. And I found something in Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, that I think fits our theme perfectly. And I want you to read this with me, Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And then he says to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. In these four verses, I believe you will find the perfect will of God for the Christian life and the Christian perspective. Well, when he speaks in terms of the faith of God's elect, that's speaking to our position. And then the acknowledging of truth speaks to our proclamation, which is after godliness, which speaks to our practice. In hope of eternal life speaks to his promise for us. I believe with these four wonderful truths revealed by Paul to Titus is something that I see as an outline for the Christian to fully understand what is Christianity all about. It's about position. It's about proclamation. It's about practice. And it's about being able to trust and hope, basing one's life on the promises of God. But it was something interesting as I was reading. It was almost like the Holy Spirit said, Shelton, you forgot to see something that's very, very special in this greeting. He said, go back, read it again. And when I did, I saw something that says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And I said to myself, why did you want me to see that again? He said, did you notice that he said a servant of God before he said an apostle of Jesus Christ? Why did he use the word servant so Say, look the word up. And the word servant comes from the Greek word doulos, which means slave. A slave that is one either voluntarily or involuntarily. One who is in subjection. One who is in servitude to another. Why would Paul think of himself as a slave of God before an apostle of Jesus Christ? When he says that he is a slave and a servant of God, he is saying that I am totally possessed by God. I have been bought and purchased by God. He has no will of his own anymore. My will is swallowed up in the will of my master, or in the will of God. And so, I'm going to share with you a study that I'm hoping will speak to our disposition and our attitude. And I'm hoping that when I finish, that you will see yourself before you see yourself as anything else, as a servant, as a slave of God. And I want to use the subject, we are slaves that are free. We are slaves that are free. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 34:5, when God took Moses to the mountain to see the promised land, here's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 34:5. So Moses, watch this, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land. That's speaking of Moses as the slave of God. Go with me to Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 14. And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I come. This is when the angel stood before Joshua after going over into the promised land. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto the angel, what saith my Lord unto his servant? What saith the Lord unto his slave? Go with me to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 9. This is when young Samuel was in the house of Eli and was asleep and heard a voice calling him. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's our word, slave. Then look with me at 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 18. David uses this same, it's actually Abner who speaks concerning David. And notice what he says in 2 Samuel 3, 18, when they're trying to unify the nation again under the kingship of David. Now then do it, for the Lord has spoken of David, Abner says, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people. David is spoken of as a slave or as a servant of God. In Exodus 23 and verse number 25, when Moses begins to explain to the children of Israel about all of the laws that they are required to keep as the people of God, Here is something that he says in Exodus 23 and verse number 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. That word serve is also part of the word servant, slave. When you see that word in its meaning, that means that these individuals are to be in servitude to the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 12, and I have to go quickly, and I don't have time to just really deal with the context of all of these, but I want you to just see how often the word serve and servant was used in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 10 and verse number 12. Now this is 40 years later, after the children of Israel are in the promised land. And this is Moses rehearsing to them. And watch what he says. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, and here it is, and to serve the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul. In the Old Testament, the word serve is used frequently. All of the prophets and all the men of God, when they addressed their relationship to God, they addressed their relationship to God as a servant of God, as a slave to God, which meant that their whole will and being was no longer their own, but they were required to do what their master, what their God had instructed them to do. Go back and think about it. When God called Moses, Moses was doing something else. But when God called him, he became a slave to God. Joshua, once Moses died, became the instrument by which God used to capture and to make the assessment of the land of Canaan to the children of Israel. Used him as a man of war. He no longer was his own, but he was totally possessed by God. Then, ladies and gentlemen, when you come to the New Testament, if you catch that disposition and that relationship that helps you to understand that, oh, I know that it's important for me to see myself as in a relationship with God, but that relationship has to be a relationship where you see yourself as a slave of God. Now, I know we don't like to hear that word slave, but I'm here to tell you it just depends on who you're a slave to. Because if you're a slave to the right person, then it's okay. For we are slaves that are free. Coming to the New Testament, watch what the Bible says. Jesus in John 12 and verse number 26. John 12, 26, this is Jesus speaking. He said, if any man serve me, if any man serve me, that's that word slave again. And then he said, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man, watch the word, serve me, him will my Father honor. If a man will see himself as a slave of Jesus Christ, a slave of God, not having his own will, but only serving the will of God or the will of the Lord Jesus Christ or the will of the Master, stop thinking about yourself. Think in terms of servitude, that I am in bondage to the God that I serve. Watch this in Romans 6 and verse number 17. This whole relationship in Christianity is about servitude and about who you're a slave to. Verse number 17, the Bible said, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, that you were slaves to sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free, watch the word, then being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. What I find is that whether you want to be or not, you are a slave to somebody or something. It just depends on who and what you are a slave to. Watch the Bible. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. When you came up out of the watery grave of baptism, you no longer were in bondage and slavery to sin. But now you are shackled in bondage as servants to righteousness. I used to have sin leading me and dictating to me and holding me in bondage. But after I was baptized, I was freed from sin. God broke the shackles of that bondage. But then he turned around and put me back in bondage. But he put me back in bondage to righteousness. He said, I speak after the manner of men. I'm in verse number 19 of Romans chapter 6. He said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members as servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For ye were the servants of sin, but ye were free from this unrighteousness. What fruit have ye in those things? Drop down to verse number 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the point is that when you give your life to Christ, you and I must see ourselves as being slaves to Jesus Christ, slaves to God, not having our own will, not doing things of our own volition, but doing those things that God has desired of us. I hear us speak so often, I feel, I think. Well, slaves don't feel and slaves don't think. Slaves want to know, what does God, my master, have to say? I've seen many slaves have to go to work when they didn't want to go to work. Amen. But, well, I say I've seen, but I have not seen, literally. But I mean, that's what I've read. Amen, amen. But the point that I'm trying to show you is that a lot of times you're a slave to your job. You're a slave to, many times, your marriage. You're a slave to your children. You're a slave to something. And a lot of times it's not about your will, but it's about the will of those that you are enslaved to, that dictates what happens and how your day and how your life goes. But I am simply showing you that when a man becomes a Christian, he no longer allows himself to be enslaved by these other things, but he becomes a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through that relationship that he begins to interpret life. In Ephesians 6, this is interesting, because in Ephesians 6 and 5, he begins to speak to those who were literally in that day in slavery, who were slaves in the first century. And if they became a Christian, listen to what this, if they became a Christian, now in their daily life and in their secular life, they were slaves, but they became Christians. But this is what he tells them. He says, servants, you slaves, be obedient to them that are your masters. Now, I know that you are in slavery, but I want you to be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart. But watch this, as unto Christ. He says, your servitude, I know you're in slavery to your master in the flesh. I know that you are in servitude to your job. I know that you are bound to do the will of your employer. I know that you are in servitude in your marriage. I know that you're bound to the will of your spouse. I know that you are bound to your children. I know that you wish that you were free from that responsibility of raising children and them getting what they need and you being responsible for getting that. And you raise them up and you bring them up to the point where they graduate and you think that you're free now, and then they turn around and come back home. I know that you want to get from under that burden. There are many of these that are in the flesh, and I understand that. But I want you to understand that the Bible is teaching us, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Earlier in Ephesians chapter 5, he was talking in terms of the relationship between the husband and the wife. He said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. And he tells the wives, be subject unto your husbands in everything. But he says to them to be subject unto their husbands in everything as unto the Lord. In other words, you are bound to your husband. You are in servitude to your husband. Now, is it voluntary? Yes. If it's involuntary, that's the wrong relationship. God is asking Christians who are slaves of his, when you approach situations that you find yourself enslaved in the flesh, he says, I want you to be obedient in those relationships. I want you to be obedient as slaves of Christ, as unto Christ. So when it comes to the government, we are enslaved to the government. We are bound by the laws of our government. The Lord is telling us, not only servants be obedient to your masters, but he's telling us as citizens of the United States of America, be obedient to those that are in higher power. He's telling us to respond positively to the negative situations that we find ourselves in. But he says the reason that I want you to do that is because your bondage to me is one that requires you to, in your situation, to submit yourself, be subject under those situations, because this is the will of your master. Now watch what the Bible says. He says, and I'm going back to Ephesians 6 and verse number 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as the Lord and not to men. If I could ever see that what I'm doing in all of my relationships is because of my servitude to God and to Christ and not to the individuals that I am involved with, then I can deal with it a lot better, because this is the will of God in my life. I am supposed to love those that are unlovely. I'm supposed to respond to those who do harm and those who do not have my best interest, those who are without God in the world. They understand it. But watch this now. This is interesting. And I know that I probably have to quit. And And I know this is probably not the lesson that you think I should have preached, but this is the lesson that I have preached, and I am under orders of my master and not you. Now listen, this is what really helped me. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. When you respond because of your servitude to God, and because you are a servant of the Lord and you are in these negative situations, when you do that, he says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. In other words, don't think that you're going to be blessed by those relationships and those bondages in the flesh. That's not what's going to bless you. What's going to really bless you is your servitude to God. And when you respond the way that God wants you to respond, God says, you shall receive of the Lord. And then he says, whether he be bond or free. And then he speaks to the masters. And he said, ye masters, do the same thing unto them, for bearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. So he not only speaks to the servants who are Christians, but now he's speaking to those masters in the flesh who have servants in the flesh, but the masters are Christians. He said, now you better be careful how you deal with Christians. You can't deal with Christians the way that other masters who are not Christians deal with them. He said, because you have a master above you, and your master above you is in heaven. Neither is there respect of person with him. Colossians 4:1, here's what he says to the masters. He says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. If before you become an apostle, before you become a husband, before you become a wife, before you become a philosopher, before you become a teacher, before you become a policeman, before you become a congressman, before you become a mayor, when you are a Christian, you must see yourself first as a servant of God. I am a slave to the will of God. I don't deal with my relationships in the flesh like I deal with those in the spiritual realm. I understand that the spiritual realm far outweighs the fleshly. And when I know who I am in servitude to, I am okay, because, and I don't have time to deal with the freedom, and that's my fault. But I want to say to you that if a man gives his life to Jesus, he will be free, because Jesus came that we might be free. May I just say to you, one of the things that I know about Jesus is what he said to us. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus, help me to understand what is the truth and who is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except it come by me. When a man knows Jesus, then a man will know the truth. When a man knows Jesus and knows the truth, then a man will be free. Help me, Brother Gibbs, free from what? Number one, if you know Jesus, he will free you from your sin. If you know Jesus, there will be no condemnation in Jesus Christ. No condemnation for my sin. All of my sins will be set free. When a man gets in Jesus, freed from sin, freed from condemnation, freed from worry, when a man is in Christ, don't worry about what you're going to put on or what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about how you're going to take care of yourself. When you're in Jesus, he will take care of you. He said, if I feed the birds of the air, then I'll feed you as well. If you are in Jesus, I know you're in bondage to him, but he came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm not here to just
put you in chains. I'm here to break the chain. I can help you in your marriage. I can help you in your job. I can help you wherever. Why? Because take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. If you learn of me, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus says, I got a good, good plan for those who put themselves in bondage for me. I'll work it out for you. I'll make all things work together for your good if you come in me. When you come into Jesus, he'll take care of everything. He's a good master. He's a mighty good master. And that's all I'm trying to say to you. Oh, if I had a choice, I'd make sure that I got myself in bondage. Should you, here I am, Jesus, take me. Do whatever you want with me, because I know that if I'm in Jesus, all my time is gone. If I'm in Jesus, everything is going to be all right. Oh, if you're in Jesus, he'll give you bread. If you're in Jesus, he'll give you water that you'll never thirst. If you're in Jesus, you'll never walk in darkness. If you're in Jesus, when you die, you really won't die. Because if any man be in Christ Jesus, that man is not really dead. That's really where you have eternal life. Jesus, what is it that you want me to do? I want you to submit yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. And I will, in turn, give you eternal life. Any man who seeks to save his life, he'll lose his life. But if a man will give his life to me, give your life to me, I'll turn around and give him eternal life. That's slavery. But it's slavery that's free. And if you want to be free, you want to be free from whatever it is that you're dealing with, I beg you to come to Jesus. He came that you might have life. That is the best servitude. You're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve something. So I'm asking you to serve Jesus. Will you come? Come hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ. Go down with him in the water of baptism. Father, remission. When you come up, you'll be in Christ. That's when he shackles you. You become his property, you become his possession. You must do his will and watch how he takes care of you, freeing you through all of the relationships that you find yourself. So when Paul said, and I understood why he said it, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. That man knew that he was lost on the Damascus Road. He knew that when the Lord shined that light around him and said, why persecutest thou me? He knew that day that sin had him shackled. But when he saw Jesus, he understood that I now am a servant of Jesus Christ. That's why he did what he did, is because he really had true freedom now that he was in Christ. I'm asking you to do the same thing. I know you love talking to yourself saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Stop saying, I'm going to this and I'm going to do that. Start saying, what does the Lord want me to do? And if you let the Lord be the guide in your life and let him be the master of your life, he will calm your seas and he will see to it that you make it safely to the other side. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing, will you come?
856. There's a fountain free, 'tis for thee.